this summer, let's get grounded. Feel the ancient earth beneath our feet. Smell the rich soil after the rain. Sift the sand through our fingers. Connect ourselves to each other, to all of creation, and to the spirit of the living God who meets us in the dirt. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link, our weekly email newsletter. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground on the stage on this holiday weekend. We also have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to the nursery. This is an intergenerational worship service this morning, but godly play, summer godly play, will be back next week. We are welcoming a new musician this morning. Anna is one of our summer musicians. Anna, we're so glad to have you with us this morning. Welcome. We are in this time of summer worship, so you see we have a generic bulletin for those of you who are on site. We've got the slides for more details, and the prayer list is available on the table or in the link, that weekly email newsletter. We invite you to leave your bulletin behind. You can take it with you, but if you're not going to like use it for bedtime reading, you can leave it here, and we'll have it for folks next week. Because this is the first Sunday of the month, this is a communion Sunday, folks at home, we invite you to get a little bit of food and drink. In person, we're having gluten-free bread and grape juice. This ritual of remembrance is open to all. Participate to whatever extent is comfortable and meaningful for you. For those on site, we also have envelopes for the Communion Fund. Those donations help neighbors who are experiencing a financial crisis. You can also give online or send contributions to the church office. Just include Communion Fund in the memo line. Just a couple more announcements. This Wednesday at 7 o'clock is our next Pub Theology. Lane is going to both host and lead. He's waving his hand at the back of the room. So just turn and make Lane feel better as he's waving to you. You can see him for more info or the church office for Lane's address. And Lane and Kirsten are also hosting coffee hour today. So immediately following worship, we just turn right around and have snacks. I believe we need hosts for the next two Sundays. Is that right, Lane?
No, next Sunday or Sunday after.
Okay, there are two Sundays coming up for which we need coffee hour hosts. One of them happens to be next week. So we have some sense of urgent anxiety around next week. I don't, because I won't be here. But people who are here might have some anxiety about getting snacks next week. So you could see Lane, and he would be happy to give you the scoop. And I'll tell you right now, because Lane failed to defrost some snacks for today, there's already really good snacks available for next week. As I said, I am off for the next 2 weeks, but I'm available for pastoral emergencies. You can get my number from the church office or send me an email, and you'll get it automatically. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times." Let us welcome the light.
Good morning, I'm Abby. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Come as you are. Come, brothers and sisters and siblings. Come as you are. Bring your blessings and your burdens. Come as you are. God is here all around us. Come as you are. Come, let's worship together. Come as you are. Our opening hymn is number 18, Praise to the Living God. It's on the handout and on the screen. You are invited to raise in body or in spirit. Our centering prayer begins with a little bit of silence. May the quiet be an invitation to slow down, to breathe deeply, to be present here and now. Let us pray. God of the Rocky Mountain, the city park, the community garden, you take mere dust and turn it into beauty, community, life. May we dig deep roots into your love, and know that we too are dirt, precious, holy dirt, fertile soil for the beloved community Jesus showed us when he taught us to pray, saying, dirt, earth, land, fences, borders, war. Too often, people have fought over the very soil beneath our feet, determined to mark it as their own. God calls us another way, to peace. Peace with the earth, peace with the earth, peace on the earth. This morning, may we share the peace of those who gathered there and earthlings everywhere. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
join me up here. Just keep me company. So our scripture reading this morning is from the Hebrew scriptures, the prophet Jeremiah. Now, sometimes we think of a prophet as someone who can see the future, right? Tell me what's going to happen in my life. Predict what's going to happen to us. But in ancient times, a prophet had a different role. They were calling the people to right behavior. They were pointing out the gap between the way God called them to live and the way they were actually living. The prophets were like, people, you know God said you're supposed to take care of each other, especially those who are hurting and the most vulnerable in your midst. Instead, you're ignoring them or making it worse. Knock it off, or God is going to punish you. That's what the prophets were like in ancient times. Now, because of the nature of that job, the prophets usually sounded angry or depressed or both. So Jeremiah was yelling at the people about 600 years before Jesus was born, and his life was hard. First, he told God he didn't want to be a prophet, but God dragged him into it anyway. Being a prophet made him really unpopular, and the people fought with him and then put him in prison. But he kept at it. In this morning's scripture reading, Jeremiah and God are having a kind of planning meeting. God is reviewing with Jeremiah what the prophet needs to get across to the people. I think God is trying to give Jeremiah some material for his prophesying, and as usual, God uses what is right at hand. Last week, we read how God uses the very soil of the earth to create the human beings who are now giving God so much trouble that he needs prophets. Now God will use dirt in a different form, clay, as a teaching tool. The passage describes a field trip God tells Jeremiah to take to the village potter who works at his pottery wheel all day to make the cups and bowls the people use.
Hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, come, go down to the potter's house, and I will be there, and you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just as the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. These are our sacred stories. May we have the wisdom and vision to live them.
Amen. Didn't Abby do a great job lay reading this morning? Thank you, Abby. And you too can be a lay reader like Abby. Just see me or Janine. We'd be happy to invite you as a lay reader. So children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. They're just really busy over there. Okay, so for kids on site, we have Play-Doh over in the playground, which they are already, you seem to have found it, and you're using it. You look like you're having fun with it. I have some too. We also passed out some to the older kids in the sanctuary this morning. If you have some Play-Doh and you want to play with it, you can, but you don't have to. Most everything is optional here. Now, this Play-Doh is not the same kind of clay that the potter was working with, but this is way less messy than the kind of clay the potter was working with, so I thought this would be a better plan for us this morning. So I'd love it if you would work the Play-Doh with me a little bit, like smell it. It smells so good. Why does it smell so good? Roll it. Notice how it gets like warm in your hands pretty quickly. Want to make something with the dough? We can make things. Let's see, we can make a person, like the story from Genesis. I might need more Play-Doh. Okay, that's my version of a person. Or make, it's starting to look like a star. Maybe I can make a star instead. Can you guys make a star over there? What are you making? What cool things are you making over there? Dinner? Is that? Cupcakes. Yeah, that's a much better thing. Okay, I made a sad little star. How about a bowl? Could somebody make a bowl? Bowl seems. Oh, you know, okay, my bowl is a little sad, but there we go. You know, what I like about this Play-Doh is that I can try something and then I can start over and try something else, right? We can make cupcakes, and then we can, you know, make hamburgers. We can just make the whole meal right there. I can keep playing with it and making new things as long as I don't let it dry out. If you let it dry out, then you're done. This is how I want to be in my life, too. I don't want to be stuck in one place, one shape, one way of being, but open to what God might be doing with me and the world. God is still working with me, with all of us, to create beauty and wonder in the world. Now, sometimes, see if you can relate to this, we might get a little frustrated. Do you ever get frustrated with ourselves, with others, with the whole world? Any amens out there, right? And you'd like to just squish everything all up and like throw it across the room, right? Have you ever had, yeah, see, we got some good arms in the back. But God calls us to not give up, to keep working with what we have, who we are, the people around us, the world we live in, trying and messing up and trying again until, with God's help, we can create something beautiful. Amen. With some things in this section of Jeremiah and how it's been used particularly in the Christian church. Sometimes this passage is seen as describing humans as mere lumps of clay, inanimate blobs, which God approaches as a separate, controlling entity who can do with us whatever he wants. And I'm pretty sure that's actually what Jeremiah intended, because his community was such a mess, he was hoping that God could rework the world. And for sure, that interpretation of God and humanity has been prominent in some times, this idea of God being able to just, with a snap, reshape the world. And in some Christian churches today, this passage would be taught as a lesson in how we just need to surrender to God's will, and he will shape us the way we should be. To be honest, I sometimes wish God was some master artist with the ability to make us into whatever God wants, because I would like God to do things my way, and I have a list of people that I think need to be reshaped right now. But that is not the God I believe in. We are not mere lumps of clay. At the same time, there are an awful lot of forces that act on us, shaping us one way or another: genetics, geography, parents, culture, economics, etc. So maybe we're a little bit like clay, which means maybe God is a little bit like the potter. That's one of the things I like about engaging with Scripture. The Bible is not a technical manual with diagrams and definitions. It's story and poetry, seeking understanding and connection. So like every scripture passage and story about God, the image of God the potter is both incomplete and too specific. So engaging with scripture invites us to ask, in what ways is God like a potter? Here's how I see it. God is like the potter who values every scrap of clay. Potters don't waste any of their clay. A piece that isn't coming out right isn't thrown away, but it's reworked. Little bits are combined together to make new lumps for the wheel. If we are clay, then every one of us, every bit of us, is precious to God. God is like the potter who is learning, playing, experimenting Potters try new things. They stretch themselves. They tap into creative joy. Things don't go wrong. They go in an unexpected direction, a welcome part of the creative process. God is like the potter who seeks to understand what the clay wants to be. The best potter doesn't impose their will on the clay, but works in partnership with the clay to see what emerges. God is like the potter who sees the beauty in the imperfections. God's kingdom is not a production assembly line, but a kindergarten classroom overflowing with creativity. God is like the potter who holds us like the clay in their hands. Like the potter's hand steady on the clay, God holds us through the challenges of life. So with that reframing of God the potter, there's still another question Scripture invites us to ask. In what ways are we like the potter? In Jeremiah's prophecy, the kingdom of Judah was the clay, and the kingdom of Judah was a mess, with those in power oppressing the most vulnerable. Jeremiah warned that God the potter would rework the clay and start all over if the people of Judah didn't get their act together. Looking at the world right now, and our country in particular, Jeremiah's prophecy feels a little close to home. With the passage of this week's bill, income for the top 20% of the earners in the U.S. will increase, and that increase will be paid in part by sacrificing poor families who will have less food to eat and less medical care as SNAP and Medicaid are cut. Makes me yearn for some divine potter who would rework the clay of this world into a kingdom of justice and peace. But my friends, we are the potter. The powers that be in this world have taken the clay of creation and built prisons and walls and halls of power where only the wealthy are welcome. God calls us to take that same clay and build tables of compassion and connection where there is room enough for all. God will be with us, calling us forward, filling us with Spirit, but it is our words and actions and prayers and money with which the clay of this country will be reshaped. We will push and pull together, being gentle as well as strong, taking turns at the pottery wheel so no one feels like they are in this alone. And if we start to lose the vision, forget the beauty in the clay, the Jeremiahs will remind us and make sure we don't give up. For sure, none of this is easy, and we can't fix the clay overnight, but we don't do it alone. As we hold the world in our own hands, we ourselves are held by God. We will make something new together. Amen. Tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. And so folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't done so already, to get yourself a little bit of food and drink. Here in the sanctuary, we are having gluten-free bread and grape juice. Folks in person, you'll be invited to come forward, take the bread, dip it in the cup, and eat it right away. You can also raise your hand and be served in your seat. Parts of our liturgy today come from Claudio Carvalho's resource, Liturgies from Below. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Lorraine. Lorraine's joy is that she's back, and our joy is that she's back. Since dealing with a rough fall, Lorraine has been in pain and dealing with all kinds of things. And Lorraine, you're just looking awesome, and it's great to have you back in our midst. Thanks, Lorraine. Other joys this morning, Randy. Dee Dee and Randy have been married for 22 years. Happy anniversary. Congratulations. Deb, my brain just stopped. It is so wonderful to have Deb E's sister with us this morning. They are clearly related, and she's up from Florida, so we're so glad to have this beautiful weather to welcome her. Doug. Doug, they were at a family gathering, and so this was your nephew? This is your grandnephew in a band playing music that you knew. So he was playing oldies. That's awesome. What a great way to support his music and to enjoy that day. Thanks, Doug. Kim, what is your daughter's name?
Emily.
Kim is celebrating the wedding of her daughter, Emily. I guess we should also name who she married.
Alex.
And after years of being a single mom and working hard to get the best for her, I'm so glad you were able to have such a beautiful day of celebration. Congratulations, Kim. Bill, birthday boy Bill. I just love the way the young people are bringing the talent right now. So Bill celebrated his 18th birthday in Maine and with a big celebration by his family, including his granddaughters, putting on a show. And they are very talented, so I bet it was wonderful. Happy birthday, Bill. Yeah. Steve. We are so glad that Gail and Carolyn are back from Scotland safely, and I cannot believe that Arthur is 4 and celebrated his birthday with 35 people there, and I bet he also kept them all entertained throughout the entire event. Yeah. Gail, what joys do you have over there? No joys. I have a couple more. We have been praying for Janet L.'s friend Jessie, who is having neck and back surgery this past week. That surgery went well. Janet L. is also celebrating time with family, which I think we can all relate to over this past weekend. She had both of her kids with us for 18 hours, so she celebrates that joy. What concerns do you bring to this place at this time? Lorraine. So we are continuing to hold Myrna in our prayers as her foot heals from the break from her fall a few weeks ago. You may be aware that Charles G. died this past week. This is Laura's husband, who we've been praying for a while. We will send out a notice this week. The information is on the Everett website. The funeral is later this week. I cannot believe I didn't write it down. I think it's Friday at 10. Is that... Say that again? Friday at 9?
And then
and Mass at 10. So the Mass is at 10, yeah. So we will have that info going out in an email. They're doing okay. So we surround Laura with our prayers and the whole family. Dee Dee. Dee Dee is lifting up the devastation in Texas, the images coming out of from the flash flooding, the lives, the young lives lost. We hold the people of Texas in our prayers. Jen. So our young friend Rupert, who's going through cancer surgery, had cancer treatment, had been doing okay, got through a week of radiation, but now has been dealing with a high fever, is hospitalized, so prayers for Rupert and his family. We also know that any treatment like this is a roller coaster. There are ups and downs, and keeping the long view is key. So we hold him and his family in our prayers, also knowing this is just one part of the story. Thanks, Jen. Gail.
Rick R., who always brings Pam D. to church, he has written to report that Pam is not feeling well. She's at the Newton Wellesley ER. However, she's watching the service.
That's very impressive. So Pam and Rick, good morning. Our prayers and love are with you. May things happen quickly in the ER, and may you be feeling better super soon. Lots of love and prayers to you. Gail, did you have any others over there? I have more from folks. Janet, in particular, asked for us to, she lifted up Alligator Alcatraz in Florida and the families being impacted that, and I would broaden that to all of the individuals and families who are being impacted by our immigration policies at this time. Janet L. also lifted up the family of Jody and Mike R. Mike's mom died yesterday. Jody and Mike's daughter is a student at Achieve, so we know this family a little bit, so prayers for them. And Janet's brother, Paul, had a trip to the ER with heart issues this past week, so prayers for answers and comfort there. Did I get them all? Beloved, the living God looks upon each of us with love and says, "You are welcome at my table." The living God looks upon each of us with compassion and love and says, "Whatever troubles you, bring it here." The living God looks upon each of us with grace and says, "Whatever you need to let go of, leave it here." Will you come? Will you bring your troubles? Will you shed the unnecessary baggage in your life? This is the place where you need not be perfect. This is the place where you need not be sure of yourself or your faith. This is the place where you need not feel whole and right with the world. This is the place where God meets you and walks with you the whole way. Let us call God to this table and ask for God's blessing on each other and the feast. God of Odyssey and Exodus, we give you thanks and praise that you are always on the move with your beloved people. You first raised up people in Africa, and from that cradle of humanity, you have walked with us as we have wandered and settled, migrated and been trafficked, enslaved and been enslaved. You have always been with us, behind us and before us, and there is nowhere we can be apart from your presence. In Jesus, you came even closer, flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. And here today, you offer yourself to us once again in loaf and cup, food to restore our flagging energy, drink to replenish our spent blood, sustenance to keep us on the move. One night, in an occupied land, in Jesus, you took bread, blessed it, broke it, and offered to your friends, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We do this in remembrance of you and in solidarity with all those whose bodies are taken, broken, used, exploited, in penitence for the ways in which those bodies are broken for us, for our complicity in receiving the goods they are broken to produce. That night, too, in an occupied land, in Jesus, you took wine, blessed it, and offered it to your friends, saying, "This is my blood poured out for you, a new covenant between God and humanity. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We do this in remembrance of you and in solidarity with all whose blood is poured out in violence, thickened with thirst, poisoned by chemical waste and chemical war. In penitence for the ways in which their blood is poured out for us, for our complicity in the sacrifices of the new covenant of global capitalism. Pour out your Holy Spirit now, we pray, for these complicated and compromised gifts of loaf and cup, that they may become for us the pure and simple gift of your grace. Amen. Kim, yeah. Sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become God's body in the world. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Let us eat and drink together, celebrating our covenant relationship to each other and to God. Amen. Join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, attuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. Sundays, we take a special collection at FCC Natick. This is our communion fund, and we use it to help our neighbors who are in crisis. Lots of folks are looking for help with food these days, so we're able to give them grocery store gift cards. Sometimes the requests are more complicated. Recently, we've had someone fleeing domestic violence, desperate to find shelter, childcare, and a job. People are calling, seeking money, but we also connect them to as many resources as we can, and we give them a listening ear. None of this would be possible without your generosity. For those on site, I think there have been special envelopes in your bulletins. Donations can also be given online or via check. Just include Communion Fund in the memo line. We know the needs are just gonna grow. Not just the need for financial support, but also for connection and care. Thank you for helping to make that possible. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may we feel the closeness of neighbors we might never meet, but are connected to nonetheless. Thank you.
bless these gifts, and especially the lives that they will touch. May they know that we are with them, no matter what. Our closing hymn is number 380. I think we can do this one a cappella too, if you give us the first note. Gail, let's do verse 1 and 6. You're on it, Gail. All right, give us that first note. Okay, apparently I need a little more. Yeah, there we go, okay. Sand to you, deep peace of the muddy path to you, deep peace of the God of dirt to you. Go in peace. Amen.